Welcome to Bitch Talk. Booze and interviews straight from the heart of Oakland this afternoon. I'm Erin. That's Anne. That's Char. You can't hear her right now. She has a drink in her hand and she's on the ones and twos. You can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us at BFF.FM every Monday from 6 to 6:30. We're at a Mad Oak Bar in Oakland this afternoon with a very special guest that I've been emailing with for maybe 6 months. I don't even know anymore.
Her name's been that long.
Her name's Janae Darden. We met a while ago, last fall, I would say, and we just struck up a nice little conversation, and I told her that a podcast called Bitch Talk, and she got excited. And I got excited. She's a local reporter for KLW. You've also reported for NPR, Time Magazine, Ebony, and the LA Times. And I'm excited to have you on the show, so thank you so much.
Thank you both. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. I told you before we started recording, I read something literally kind of right before we got here.
Yeah.
And so is it cool if I do a callback to this piece?
Go for it.
Don't be scared. It's really good.
I'm always scared.
No!
When somebody's like, I read your work, and I'm like,
I think it sets the tone for... myself personally, yeah. I'm about to be another new number soon. My birthday's coming up.
Oh, okay.
And we're all of a certain age, even if we don't look like it
we're
or not.
We're livid.
Yeah. But I read this on CocoFly.com, and it's starting your dreams later in life and embracing the detour.
Mm, yeah.
So, I'm gonna get into it a little bit. So.
Okay, great.
You wrote, I thought this would all happen by the time I was 27 to 30. Nope, that wasn't God's plan for me. I'm finally beginning to do the things I've wanted to do, and I'm almost 40 years old. Some people reading this who are 40 will say, 40's still young. Some people reading may think 40 is nearly ancient. But I'm writing this post for those who, like me, thought their career and personal dreams would come true much earlier in life. I'm here to tell you not to give up. You know, death inspires life. A number of my relatives and friends have passed away, ranging in age from 20s to 80s. Actor Luke Perry, my middle school celebrity crush, recently died at 52. Life is short. If there's something you've been wanting to do, do it. Don't trip off your age. Go for it. I read that. I was almost in tears in my office.
And I wanted to talk about this, too. Erin and I don't talk about what we want to discuss, but I wanted to talk about this, too. So thank you.
Okay.
You wrote that last year in 2019.
Yeah, I turned 40 last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're more responsible than we are. Not drinking.
That's why I need to keep my job.
Yeah. But you were turning 40 and feeling all the feels?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, times have changed, you know, times are different. And so maybe when our parents, you know, were coming of age, they may have accomplished a lot of things by their 20s and 30s. My mom bought her house when she was, I think, 25, 27. But, you know, the economy's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, things are coming later in life than what we expected. And so I was feeling, you know, some kind of way about that. And then I had to just kind of just, you know, and I talked to people and I talked to people older than me. They're like, honey, 40 ain't nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, 40 still.
That's how we feel, for sure.
Yeah, when I was talking like 60, 70-year-olds, they're like, that ain't nothing.
Right.
And I have a cousin in her 60s and sometimes she's, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. And she's, you know, pretty accomplished. But, you know, I think a lot of people in their, you know, maybe late 30s, mid-30s, and up are feeling kind of like I haven't achieved what I thought I would achieve. So.
Right. Well, so I think our generation as well, we weren't thinking like our parents were. Our parents are like, or at least my parents are like, okay, by this point, I want to have kids and a family and a house. And I was shown that there are other possibilities.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, let me try this other way. Mm-hmm. And we're still maneuvering through that other way and figuring out what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so these definitions of success are all
Absolutely.
Different these
Yeah.
days.
No, it's definitely, it's like you have to create your own definition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm an author, which I always dreamt of being, and like being on the radio regularly and just getting my work out there. It's like it's starting to happen. Being here, you know. I was like, I dreamt of being on something called Bitch Talk.
We're here with open arms.
I'm gonna be on a show called Bitch Talk. So I mean, now it's starting to come. You know, it's starting to happen. But you know, maybe when I was younger, it wasn't the right time. You know, and sometimes you kind of got to grow and mature and just learn and experience things when it is the right time.
Yeah.
Well, I think also this coming from you, if you look at your resume, your life is very impressive. And I'm glad that you're still evolving and growing and learning all these new things. But I'm like, that's a fine resume, in my opinion. Like, you have nothing to...
You have a great LinkedIn page. I'm just kidding. But, well, if you want to answer that...
Well, you know, I mean...
Quote.
Yeah, you know. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm blessed. Like, I've been able to do a lot of things. But, you know, when the market crashed, it was rough. You know, I was, like, working at NPR. I was living in L.A. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah. I was
having a good time,
having a good time working at NPR, you know, and then the market crashed and I was in my late 20s and I was, you know, working jobs, odd jobs, and I was on unemployment for a while. And then I realized, I was like, I have to move back home. And so I had to like move back home and swallow my pride at 30. And it was funny. I remember I was at home and I started blogging. And the reason why I started blogging was because I was like, I just need to keep working that writer's muscle. Mm-hmm. And so people would call my mother to say, what's Janae doing now? But, you know, my mother used to be able to brag about me. And it was funny. She's like, well, she has a blog. I heard her in the room, in the back room. And I said, I knew she knew I was working hard, but... You know, when I heard that, I was thinking, I really need to push it a little bit more. So, but, you know, I mean, the market crashed. There was nothing I could do. So, yeah, I was blogging and eating peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
Peanut butter jelly sandwiches at home. Yeah. at 30. And I felt ashamed. You know, but it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault that the market crashed. So.
No, it wasn't your fault.
Right. But I think, you know, sometimes you blame yourself when things happen, and especially if you have certain standards for yourself.
Yeah. So. Well, I was talking about that this morning, about standards, but also people that are able to figure it out and not figure it out with the 9-to-5 and really, really hustling. And I had to talk about the people in my life that do that, but the sacrifices that they make to do that, which is the peanut butter sandwiches or living with a family member to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a well-crafted path.
It's not. And hustling is not. I mean, I know hustling is romanticized, and hustling
is
hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to hustle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's times I go and do readings or you know, I may do a story and I'm tired, but I need to do it.
Yeah.
So it's not.
With one eye open.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people are like, I don't sleep. I'm like, no, sleep. Go to sleep.
Yeah, go to sleep. Looking at my producer, Char.
You know, and I'm working on improving my sleep hygiene.
Yeah, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I do not glorify hustling. And I wish I could wake up and it's like, oh.
Yeah, you know, no.
And just be catered to.
No. Yeah. Normally on Bitch Talk, when we have new guests on, we kind of go into their origin story. So.
Okay.
Not going there yet.
Okay.
But your writing background and your reporting background, can we talk about that and where it came from and your interests?
Yeah, I think it runs in my blood. So one of my grandfathers was a storyteller. Always had a story. Anytime you saw him, always had a story. And then I just found out my other grandfather, he used to be a reporter on the Navy ship.
Oh.
He just told me this. I'm like, I've known you 40 years. 40 years. You just not telling me you were. My mom didn't even know. She was like, what? You were on the Navy ship? So he's a journalist.
During the war?
I forgot which war it was.
Okay.
But yeah, he was a reporter on a Navy ship. So
it's in your blood a little bit.
So yeah. So when he told me that, I was like, well, no wonder I liked, because he always very passionate about defending journalists. And, which, you know, I just thought he was just all about the First Amendment. I was like, well, that's because you are one.
Right. So, it came from somewhere.
Right, it came from somewhere. But I've always loved writing. My mother gave me a journal when I was 7, which I write about in the book. So she, back in the 80s, picture it, back in the 80s, right? Sophia,
picture it. Yeah, Sophia. Yes.
Picture it, 1987.
I can picture my 1987, yeah.
So this is like back in the days when women would wear sneakers over their stock, over their pantyhose.
Oh, God, the socks and sneakers,
and carry their pumps
Reeboks.
And
Reeboks,
So that was my mom.
Yep.
Getting on the train at Coliseum, taking the train to San Francisco when she was working at Pacific Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people remember Pacific Bell.
Pac Bell.
Worked for the phone company. And she saw this small, brown, little 9-ring binder in the office supply closet. And so she took it. And Pacific Bell can afford to lose it.
I'm like, they're out of business. It's fine. No worries.
And so she typed up a label and put Janae's Darden Journal. She taped it on and she
cute.
Put some paper in it. And it, I was little and I was playing with some toys in my room. And she had it behind her back and she surprised me with it.
Aww.
And she wrote a note in there. She's like, you know, you write whatever you want. Your mom won't read it. It's private. Even I knew that wasn't the truth. I was like, she's going to read it.
There's no lock on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. No lie.
Yeah.
I knew at 7, I was like, yeah, right. So, but that was my first, so I always said I was the first book with my name on the cover. So like, that's when I started writing, was when she gave me that journal.
Do you still have it?
I still have that journal. So I still have it, and I've been journaling ever since. So that's kind of where the writing came from. And I love to read. My mother loves to read. So we would read books all the time. And so it just, you know.
Have you read it?
My world. The journal?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we should have asked you to bring it and read. It's like that stand up. It's that show that kids read from their journals.
What is it?
Mortified. Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not reading.
So you were journaling starting at 7 and reading a lot.
Yeah. And so I just always like books and writing. Yeah.
Okay. Were you writing for any school papers?
We didn't have school papers. I went to a Catholic school. Not that the Catholic school didn't have school papers.
Same.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But we didn't have school papers.
We didn't have anything fun. We had mass, though. That was fun. That was a hoot.
I went to a very interesting... What high school? What Catholic school?
In L.A.
Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So up here, I went to a Catholic school, K through 12. Yeah. The whole time I went to Catholic, two Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm. O'Dowd, you said?
No, not O'Dowd. St. Elizabeth High School for high school, and then St. Cyril's for elementary school.
Okay.
So, and now they were pretty progressive Catholic schools. But the high school had a yearbook, so I was editor of the yearbook. So I was able to do some of my journalism muscle. But
okay.
Yeah, but I didn't do newspaper. They didn't have it.
And then you ended up going to college at...
So I went to UC San Diego for
undergrad.
That's
right, okay.
And I knew I wanted to write, but I wasn't sure. And so I was majoring in psychology, and it wasn't working for me.
Everyone takes that Psych 101 at bare minimum.
I like mental health stuff, too. So that's why I was like, oh, I want to be a psychologist. And then I was just like, this is not working. And so then I really loved ethnic studies. Like, I loved studying culture and history and race. And so I was like, what am I going to do with an ethnic studies degree? You know, so I just took a gamble and I was like, that's where my heart is. And so I majored in ethnic studies, minored in literature. But I use my ethnic studies degree because I cover Oakland.
Right.
For the station.
Right.
And so I'm interacting with all kind of people. So that's, you know, that what I learned, that history of different cultures comes up. And even when I worked in mental health advocacy, just looking at different cultures as far as how they view mental health and how mental health stigma plays roles differently in different cultures.
Yeah.
So I was able to use my ethnic studies degree. Then I went to, then I came back here, then I moved back down south and went to USC and studied journalism.
Oh.
So that's it.
And that's where the reporting came into play?
That's where
I don't know. I used to work in TV news. Mm. That's
interesting.
I think when you start, I never reported. I was a producer.
Okay.
But I think
I start off as a producer.
Yeah, when you start, though, I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And you're chasing after stories or guests. But then things happen.
Yeah.
And what happened for you? You know, like, for me, I left.
Okay.
So I was like, I saw what was happening to local news, especially.
Yeah.
It takes a certain type of person to be able to.
Yeah, and I just got tired of it. It was the Scott Peterson trial for me.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
that.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
I remember that trial.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for you, it sounds like you went the other way and you're like, I'm totally into it. So how was that journey?
I mean, you know, news isn't easy. It's not. So I understand. And I know some people who they worked in TV news and they left. I don't know if it was different for me because I went into public radio. So that might have been a little different.
Yeah.
It's
very different.
It is.
Yeah, it's very different.
It's a whole lot different. So I stuck with it. And it's funny because I wanted to give up sometimes just because it's hard, just because the pay is not the greatest.
Right.
And my mother be like, but that's in your heart. Follow your heart. And I'm like, I want to eat. Have a house.
I want the thing.
My heart says I'm hungry. Yeah.
You know, I'm eating. But you know, but I mean, I love what I do. And I understand it's hard. I mean, I took a break for a while. I had to because the market crashed. And I was sad about that. But then I worked for a nonprofit and did mental health advocacy and podcaster for them. So I was still able to do, like, what you're doing? Like, I was still able to flex that media muscle.
Yeah.
Like, but I understand why people step back. It's intense, you know.
And I wasn't, I don't want to say bright enough, but I didn't ever think about going into, like, going to NPR or public radio. Now I wish I sort of did, because you can actually tell story. You can tell
it's
the full. That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, we started with you
doing what's
now.
The story?
I mean, like
yeah.
you're doing your thing now.
Yeah, but I appreciate NPR as I'm getting older. Yeah. too. It's like, oh, they actually can tell a full story. Mm-hmm. It's not a
not
two
just a
minute.
Headline, a bite.
Yeah, I was at a station, so right, it's like you right. have these little bites. That's yeah. what you have to fill.
Yeah, in the station I work at, we can do 7 minute stories. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and I'm multimedia, so I'll do I'll do a print story.
You'll do a little documentary, about East Oakland. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
So I'll do all of that.
So you started at a younger age, you took a break, and then you came back to it. How have you watched the landscape evolve now that, obviously, with the growth of social media, I mean, with our current president, obviously, but, like, how have you watched it evolve, and is it scarier for you? Is it harder for you now that you have all these voices in your ear and critics?
Yeah, it is harder. I mean, because, you know, with social media, it's you know, folks quick to cancel you, cancel culture.
Yeah.
I hate that phrase.
Yeah, things can get taken out of context. Somebody can just edit something to make it look like what it's not.
Yep.
And then just all the fake news. That's what really concerns me. It's like there's so much fake news. And even just the fact that the news that, you know, you're on Facebook or something, the news that's coming to you, I mean, there's algorithms, so they know what to
yes.
send you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was funny, my mother, she loves... My mother and I are close, with why I keep mentioning her. But she was talking to me about J-Lo and A-Rod. And she's always talking to me.
I don't even know what that means.
See? Right.
She's you don't know what that means.
I know
Come
J-Lo,
on.
But what about A-Rod? I don't know.
They're together.
Yeah. And so,
come on.
Oh, A-Rod. Yeah. I heard Hey. I'm old. Hey, I heard Hayride. I'm all.
Oh, no, she's been drinking. That's why
I had like four sips.
It's loud in this bar. It's loud in this bar.
It is a little. Yeah.
She's hard of hearing.
That's why I have a Shirley Temple. But,
you're smart.
But
what do you mean she's talking about them?
Well, she keeps saying that.
Sorry, I didn't want to go down this.
Yeah,
road.
What's going on with them?
Yeah, what's happening?
Do you think they're gonna get married? Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah, they're engaged.
I said you're the only one talking about this.
Yeah.
She's like, it's on. She likes Yahoo News. She's like, it's on Yahoo News. She's older. She's like, it's
well,
a
Yahoo News.
I also
that's
have
hilarious.
Yahoo News, but it makes me laugh because I'm like, you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
it's like Pop Sugar.
Yes, it's okay. a little, yeah.
She's like, it's on Yahoo News all the time. And I think they're probably just sending it to you because I was like,
right.
nobody sends me.
Because you click it, so you keep,
right.
you,
yes.
yeah, the
so,
algorithm.
So she's thinking it's the hottest thing out. And I was like, I don't think people are really talking about it. I mean, I'm sure some people are, but she's like, all the time. What you think about?
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, just that. I mean, just how news can be funneled to you.
It shifts our reality subconsciously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead mm-hmm. of picking up a newspaper or whatever, and even that's problematic, right? Because, you know, your newspaper, only certain people were covering certain things.
Yep.
So that didn't give the whole scope of what the issues were about, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, you know, who's funding the newspaper and who
and
owns the newspaper?
That, yeah,
all of it.
That shift, too.
Yeah.
That shift, too. So mm-hmm. it is concerning. You know, it definitely is concerning.
That was part one of our interview with our new best friend of the show.
She's
Janae
amazing.
Darden. Love talking with her about her origin story. Also just journaling starting at 7 and keeping the journal. I kind of wish I had my original journal.
I wish you had your.
Oh, okay. It was down.
It's
I
a
just
lot
remember,
of new kids on the block.
Yeah, it was a lot of hearts and iridescent on the front.
Joey?
I didn't like. She liked Joey.
Oh, Char liked Joey. Jonathan.
I loved John.
Okay, fine.
Oh, you liked the brother. No, mine was an iridescent heart journal with a lock on the front. I'm sure my mom read it. I'm sure it was all about new kids on the block. Yes. Anyways, Janae, love her.
And I really liked hearing about just a different levels of her life. Like, this was one experience, and then this happened, and then this happened, and it kind of gives you hope. Like, you keep, it's fine. Just keep going. Keep pushing. Yes. And I love her. You know, in our society, we face such ageism.
Yep.
And she's really countering that with, like, touche. We can actually
just do it.
Grow fine with age, like a wine.
Oh, like a fine wine, like a fine red wine. But yeah, Janae, we've been working on this again for a few months, and I knew it was going to be special once we got her on. And she was very adult about, way more adult than us, about not drinking during the podcast, which is smart. But in our next episode, we'll be talking about her going up Darden. And
I feel like that was kind of the, now that, like, the elephant in the room. Like, all right, well, we're
going to. A
little
bit. You know, I'm respectful of that time in her life because
right.
Everyone was watching the O.J. Simpson trial at that time. I mean, everyone was. You can't, I don't know, 90% of the country. And she was living it. And I don't know how you don't talk about it, but I also know that maybe you don't want to talk about it. So,
right, and you don't want to be defined by just this,
by that,
the daughter
by,
of.
Right.
And she was a teenager, no less.
Right. We were, like, all the same age then.
Yeah.
So,
but obviously that shaped who she became, who she is now, her growth, her struggles.
Her work.
So how did you meet? I think you've told me this, but I can't remember the story. Is how did you guys get connected?
From my 9 to 5. She's a reporter for KLW.
Gotcha.
And she came to cover some of the stuff we're doing at the museum that I work at.
Okay.
And she lives in Oakland. And that's how that happened. And she and I literally had a quick chat, and I talked about the podcast and told her the name. And she's like, I want to be on that.
That's awesome.
I'm sold.
Like, let's do it. So she was on. So anyways, look forward to our part two with Janae, growing up Darden, and everything else that came with that. In the meantime, you can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us every Monday morning from 6 to 6:30 on BFF.fm. We are powered by GoTo Productions.
Bitch, please.